So lots on the legal front. The Epstein files have been signed by Donald Trump yesterday. So in 30 days, we will have access, at some point in those 30 days, we'll have access to these documents. But also, this story about James Comey isn't going away either. And what's interesting about this story is the DOJ says that not all grand jury members saw the final version of the indictment. And that might throw this prosecution into it might throw it into a tizzy. So let's bring in Barb McQuaid, law professor at the University of Michigan, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Barb, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, great to be with you.
Let's start with the Epstein files, because the president signed that yesterday. And we're hearing more and more from politicians, particularly on the left, clamoring for the release of all the files, except in this bill, there was a provision on not releasing information if it pertains to an active investigation, which there are some in this case.
Yes, I think that that exception might end up swallowing up anything anybody might really want to see. So there's a statute that got passed by Congress calling for the release of the Epstein files, which is likely to include all of the investigative materials collected over the years by the FBI, documents, records, emails, photos, reports of interviews and other kinds of things. But there's a provision in it that says the attorney general may withhold any material that could jeopardize an ongoing investigation. And then, of course, last week, after previously saying that there was nothing left to investigate, Attorney General Pam Bondi said she was reopening the investigation to look into conduct by some prominent Democrats. Now, it strikes me that that exception could allow her to designate anything she deems to be relevant to the ongoing investigation. And so to a cynic or a skeptic, one might wonder whether that doesn't give her the opening she needs to remove anything that might also be damaging to President Trump. So we'll have to see what gets released. She's previously said his name is mentioned in there several times. We'll have to see what actually comes out.
Let me ask you about this Comey case and how this U.S. district attorney did not give the final indictment to the entire grand jury. Have you ever seen something like that?
No, I've never seen anything like that. So what appears to have happened is she presented three counts. The grand jury rejected one of those counts. And so she said, let me go back and revise the indictment to remove that first count, and you'll just have two counts. This occurred, I think, at around 4:30 p.m., Now, perhaps understandably, the grand jury left by, around 5 p.m. And then when she returned at around 6:30 p.m., the only people left were the foreperson and one other grand juror. They looked at it and signed off on it. I've never had this happen. From time to time, maybe an indictment contains a typo or something. You go back, you revise it, and you present it. But I've always shown it to the entire grand jury so that they could flyspec it and make sure they were approving this document before they signed off on it. It may be that if these counts were identical to the two counts they approved, that this is an error that's sort of harmless, but I've never seen it. In fact, I think the judge in this case hadn't either and asked for supplemental briefs as to what's the remedy when something like this happens.
Barb, Comey's team argues that this case is the product of a vindictive prosecution driven by President Trump. Legally, what does it take to prove a vindictive prosecution? And does this situation kind of come close to it?
Yeah, I don't know if it comes close. I don't know if it fulfills it. So vindictive prosecution is very rarely granted because we give a lot of discretion to prosecutors. But it occurs when two things happen. One is a case is motivated to retaliate against a defendant for exercising a legal right. Usually that right occurs within the same case itself. For example, the classic case is when somebody appeals, they get a new trial granted, they win, and then the prosecutor retaliates by adding additional charges. That's where that retaliation comes in. And then second, that the case would not have been brought but for this vindictive motive. So in this case, what Comey is claiming, not that there was a retaliation about something he did in a pending case, because there was no pending case, but he is being retaliated against for exercising his First Amendment rights of free speech outside the context of a criminal case. So this would be broadening the doctrine, but I'm not sure we've ever seen such an egregious case where a president is using social media to direct a prosecutor to attack and prosecute an individual. So as we said, comes close, but I'm not sure it quite fits within the doctrine. It would require, I think, an expansion of the doctrine.
So then what's the potential fallout here in this case?
Well, I think there's a potential for dismissal for a number of grounds. One is if the judge does find that this rises to the level of vindictive prosecution, the judge could dismiss the case. Also, with regard to the irregularities occurring before the grand jury, we could see a dismissal of the case. But it may be that the case goes to trial. It appears that even on its facts, there are some potentially fatal flaws in the indictment. You know, the statements that Comey made don't quite match up to the way Senator Ted Cruz asked the question at the trial. So it may be that eventually the case goes to trial and the prosecution is required to prove its case. But could be a dismissal before trial. Could be that we see this case go to trial. If so, it would be, you know, some months down the road.
Well, if a statute of limitations has expired without a valid grand jury vote on the final charges, could that alone be enough to shut it down?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. You know, ordinarily, if an indictment is dismissed for any reason, the statute tolls and gives the prosecutor additional time to correct a flaw. But what's interesting about this is if the full grand jury never actually returned this indictment because they didn't see it, then it's null. Like, it's as if no indictment were ever filed. And so I don't know if that remedy would be available to the government.
Barb McQuaid, always appreciate your insight. Thank you for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
we'll continue
me.
To watch this because this is interesting. And again, you know, the lining up of even the statements that were made, right? If it's not presented to the grand jury exactly how Ted Cruz asked the question, for example,
right?
You know, is there perjury in this case, right? So
it's a lot.
We find ourselves in this situation a lot. Where we're pushing these legal bounds.
Oh, yeah, man. New waters every day, it seems like.
Yeah, and there are all these stories of how many lawyers have left the DOJ because they don't agree with some of these things.
I mean, again, though, you know, this is a drum that the Democrats have been pounding for a long time. If somebody does something wrong, go down the avenues, right? No problem with that. If you perjure yourself to Congress, that is a crime, correct? And so if that's the case, go down the path. But if your legal team in the DOJ cannot handle the step-by-step process that it would take, you throw everything upside down.
Yeah. And make it obvious, man.
Well,
you
it's kind
of make it obvious, really.
I don't even know if it's obvious. I mean, it's just like, is there incompetence? I mean, this you know, Lindsey Halligan had never prosecuted.
She never tried anything. I mean, yeah. She
right.
never prosecuted anything.
That's why people think it's politically motivated. You can make your own decisions, but the career prosecutor that was there didn't want to try the case. Mm-hmm. He resigns. Lindsey Halligan comes in. She has 4 days to do it, and she does it.
Lots still to come here on JR Morning, the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk to House Speaker Matt Hall. Mike Ballow, a member of the Michigan State Board of Trustees, will join us on this wild case for the Big Ten. It's next.